Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for your word. It's a difficult word to hear today, Lord, because it challenges us. While it promises faith and feeding, it challenges us to be faithful to you, and we pray that we may hear it, know that it is the truth, and live it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Now, we've all played the game. If you could have any food in the world, what would it be? Let me just see here a couple. What would it be? If you could have anything in the world, what would it be?
Ice cream.
What?
Shrimp.
What? Oh, filet mignon. Yeah.
Cheese.
Oh, that's a good Swiss.
Artichokes.
Anybody else? Okay. I think if we asked all the kids in Mr. Parker's house class, they probably would say pizza. Now, you know, if for a meal or a feast to really be great, it's fun to think about what would have to be there. Now, many of you know that I love pickles. I go down to the diner and I always order a plate of pickles to go with my meal. But I have to say, even more than pickles, and that may come as a surprise to some of you, I like garlic stuffed olives. I love those little buggers. And whenever we are celebrating at home or having a party, I have to buy a jar of them. If it's a Super Bowl party, there's the garlic stuffed olives. Thanksgiving dinner, gotta have the garlic stuffed olives. When I shop in the store, I kind of have to go like that when I go past them to keep from buying them, because I want to save them for special times. And you know, in many ways, that's a little bit of what's behind this passage that we heard in Isaiah today. Listen again where he writes, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." So truly understand this passage, though. We need to get out of our 21st century mindset, which is fast food microwavable. And we need to remember how meals used to be. Not just for us, but even further back. Especially in the times of Jesus and of Isaiah. Meals were special events because it took a lot of work to make them. Not only did you have to get the ingredients, which was hard, but you had to make the fire. You got to have the firewood there to keep it going. Meals were special events because it took time to make them. And special meals, like what we might call Thanksgiving dinner type meals, were especially difficult because you couldn't always find maybe what you needed. You couldn't go to this Pathmark, the ShopRite, Stop and Shop it, pick what you needed off the shelf. You had to go out and find it. You had to have the money to get it. And so then, the adverse of that is true in the sense that to be invited to that kind of a meal was a very special event. It implied trust. It implied a positive relationship. Or to use a biblical word, it implied a covenantal relationship, a family or friendship. One would not go through all that trouble to make such a meal for someone that they didn't care for that much. Now the difference that the prophet is talking about, rich food, regular food, is not so much about food, but it's about living in exile or living in Jerusalem. The writer of this section of Isaiah, what we call 2nd Isaiah, is writing during the exile of the Israeli people in Babylon. The people have begun to believe that they will never leave Babylon. They will never return to Israel. Maybe they've gotten jobs and they've started, and living is okay there. They've got something going. They've put down roots. They've taken on the life of the Babylonians. Peter Steinke writes in an article in the Christian Century magazine on this passage, "The danger for the exiles was that of becoming obligated to their captors and present benefactors and adapting to the bread of Babylon. Being assimilated into a foreign way of life and forgetting their roots was a real temptation." Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann sharply notes, "Whoever feeds, owns. Food," he says, "comes with a price." Now, God wishes to renew the covenant with the people who are in exile. And so God invites the people, through the words of the prophet, to come to the lavish table of the Lord. In my mind, that's the difference between those tasteless canned black olives and the pungent taste of garlic-stuffed olives. This passage is a Lenten passage because it's about choosing. Choosing between God and the world. Will we know the richness of a life with God? Or will we continue to live the bland life of the world? That's the choice that we're presented with. That's the choice that the people that Isaiah's talking to are presented with. We have to want it. We have to be willing to make changes. In their case, to go back. To give up everything that they started there in Babylon and go back to uncertainty. To get that life of rich spirituality and grace. Think about it. If Jesus had not gone to Jerusalem, if Jesus had just lived the good life, would we be here today? Do you think we would even know about him? It was his faithfulness, his grace that filled his life with such rich grace and love. So much that we remember him even today. So much that he said from the cross, "Father, forgive them." Thank you. 2 millennia later, we remember him. We remember the life he lived, what he taught. And that's the kind of life that God desires us to choose, the life of Christ. That's the part of this story from Luke, the fig tree. The gardener is Jesus, and God, and the fig tree is Jerusalem, the people of Israel. And God is saying, "I'll give you another year. I'll give you another year." Jesus is the one who speaks up, "Let me work with them, God. Let me love them." So there's a sense of urgency about our choice. That's the covenant that God desires to make with us, though, a covenant of grace and love. And that's the message of this table, both these tables. We can drink this small cup of juice, and we can eat this little cube of bread and think it's not much more than that. Or we can see in it the bounty of God's love and grace in the bread, the richness of God's mercy and desire for us in the juice. The choice is ours. We can eat the bland black olives. That's hard to say fast. Or we can eat the garlic-stuffed olives of God's covenant. Would somebody please pass the garlic-stuffed olives?